Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started over a week ago talking about the Word became flesh. And of course, this is talking about the virgin birth of Jesus. And I have shared a lot of things that are different than what most people think. And so I really would like to encourage you to please get our CDs or DVDs that we're offering on this, because everything I'm going to be teaching today is predicated on those things I've already taught. Real quickly, let me just say that I've basically been answering two main questions. Why did it take 4,000 years for Jesus to come to the earth? And the second question is, why did Jesus even have to come to the earth? Isn't God God? Couldn't he have provided salvation for the human race some other way? I mean, that is such an extreme cost, such a great sacrifice. You know, since I was a little kid, I've wondered about that. Well, there are reasons why things happen the way that they did. And if you could understand, if you could answer those two questions, it will give you a revelation about the nature and the integrity of God that would show you why He deals with us the way He does and things like this. So we've been trying to basically answer those two things. Last week, I really made a major push talking about how that God created the heavens and the earth, you and me, everything physical, by words. Words are the parent force. He spoke them into existence. And God upholds everything by the power of His Word, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. So if God ever broke His Word, the universe would self-destruct. You and I would self-destruct. God cannot lie, it says in Hebrews chapter 6, I believe it is. And so God cannot, you could say would not, because He has integrity and He will never violate His Word. So He spoke man into existence. Then in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, He spoke authority to them and gave them absolute dominion over this earth. I've used Psalms chapter 8, chapter 82, verse 6, where God even called men gods, not capital G in the sense of divine, but absolute rulers. God gave us total dominion over this earth. And this is why it took 4,000 years for the promise that God gave Adam and Eve in the garden, Genesis 3, 6, 15, about the seed of the woman crushing the head of Satan. It took 4,000 years for that prophecy to come to pass because God had delegated control to mankind. And because of His integrity, He would not violate what He said, come down here and fix things on His own. He had to flow through people. In a sense, God limited Himself to flowing through us. He wouldn't come down here and violate the promise that He gave us. Now, that's a very quick summary, but that is an important point. If you've missed any of that, you need to get those materials. And because of all of those things, then the angel came and approached Mary and basically made a proposal to her on the behalf of God. Would she accept? Would she receive this word? And the Lord had spoken for 4,000 years, hundreds of words of prophecy. And I focused on Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, where He said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son." That was a major piece of the puzzle. It had to be a virgin, and yet it had to be spoken. Remember that God spoke Adam into existence. To create the second Adam, this had to be spoken. But now God wasn't in control of things solely by Himself. He had delegated authority to people. Therefore, He had to speak through people. And one of the reasons I think it took 4,000 years is because who would believe, who would put their name to a prophecy that a virgin is going to conceive and bear a son? It's possible that God spoke this to people before Isaiah, and Isaiah may have been the first one that had enough guts to just speak forth what God had put on his heart. But whatever the reason is, it took 4,000 years of God speaking just little bits and pieces here and there through different people. And finally, when Gabriel made this proposal to Mary, she humbled herself and she said, "So be it unto me according to thy word." What she did was open up her heart, and the Holy Spirit took all of these prophecies that had been spoken for 4,000 years, and the Word became the seed. First Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God. And that word seed there is talking about that the Word became the sperm. And literally, the birth of Jesus was natural in every way, except man didn't provide the seed. God's Word was the incorruptible seed. And this goes back to the verse that I started this whole series with in John 1:14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus literally was spoken into existence, the physical body. Now, the Spirit part of Him, He was God from the beginning. There was no beginning to God. He's the one that created all things. But the physical body that Jesus inhabited was spoken into existence by all of these prophets of God. And then that Word became the seed that conceived the physical body of Jesus and that Mary gave birth to. Now that's powerful. And I've got some other major points to make about this, but let me just make a comparison right here. That in the same way that God has just established a law. Did you know, I don't know how to say this properly, but I hope you can follow me. It really is impossible for a virgin to have a child. And Mary didn't have a man plant the seed, but the laws of God still function. It wasn't that a woman who had never been impregnated had a child. That's not what happened. She was impregnated, but it just wasn't by a man. It was God's Word. My point is that there are laws that are established. You can't have a child without planting a seed. And in the natural realm, see, all of us understand that. I've actually had people come to me before and ask me to pray for them that they would get pregnant. And just before I put my... I remember one woman, I was just about to lay my hands on her, and I said, "Are you married?" And she said, "No." And man, I took my hands off of her real quick. And I said, "There was only one virgin birth and you aren't going to be the second." I said, "I'm not praying for you that you'll have children." And there are some people, I guess, that could pray and just believe that God is going to supernaturally get them pregnant and they could have a child. But that's not how it happens. You can't pray. It doesn't matter how much faith you operate in. It's not going to happen. It's very similar to you could pray over barren ground as much as you want to, but if you don't plant a seed, it's not going to grow anything. It's just a law that God established. Seed, time, and harvest. And it works in the plant kingdom. It works in the animal kingdom. It works in the human race. There are no exceptions to it. And the virgin birth really wasn't an exception. It was just that no physical man provided the seed. God's Word was the seed. So here's my point, is that this is just a law of God. You have to conceive to be able to give birth. And I believe that you can make a comparison between all of the things we've been discussing and the way that a person receives a miracle from God. There's a lot of people that think miracles just fall, you know, out of heaven. They are brought by the stork. They just think that they're praying and they're asking God to heal their body and they're just waiting on something to happen. But have they ever taken the seed of God's Word? Remember, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says that God's Word is an incorruptible seed. You need to take that seed and plant it in your heart. And you actually conceive a miracle. Now see, this is something that most people don't think about. They think that miracles, probably most of you watching this program, believe that miracles happen. That's the reason you're watching this program. You know that there's something more. You're looking for something more. You're wanting something to happen. And that's the reason you're watching this program instead of something else. So you believe that miracles can happen, but the average person believes that really they have no control over that whatsoever. They just petition God. Sometimes they will go and get other people to agree with them and think that they're putting pressure on God by having multiple people agree. Or they'll fast, or they'll depend on the fact that you're just so pitiful, you're hoping God will have mercy on you or something like that. But most people do not feel that they have any control or any influence over whether or not you get a miracle. But the truth is, you really do. You could take God's Word and plant it in your heart. And if you would start meditating on God's Word, then I guarantee you, eventually there is going to be this conception that takes place and you go through a birthing process. And eventually when the miracle is manifest, is not when it really started, just like when a child is born. The child started 9 months before the birth, the physical birth. And it's the same thing with miracles. And a lot of people don't understand this, and so they just throw a prayer out there and then wonder why God didn't come through. That would be as silly as a woman who can't understand why she's not having children and yet she's never had a physical relationship with man. That would be as silly as a person who can't understand why their garden isn't producing like their neighbor's and yet they never planted any seeds in it. The Word of God will conceive. In a sense, it's like you have a spiritual womb and you have to take the Word of God and plant it in your heart. And think about it this way. Look at the effort that God went to bring Jesus into this earth. Waited 4,000 years. Why? Because there had to be. It had to be. He couldn't do it any other way. This is how He established the whole human race, the world, everything is based on seeds. You know, if you go back to the book of Genesis and look at the first chapter of Genesis where He created the heavens and the earth, look at some of the wording. Here, this is really important, the way that God created things. In verse 11, it says, God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. You know, that's kind of a wordy way of doing this. Why didn't God just say, let there be grass, let there be trees, let there be herbs? Why didn't He just say that? The reason He said it this way is He put the emphasis on let there be grass whose seed is in itself, trees whose seed is in itself, who produces seed. By creating the seed, see, He doesn't have to get up and create 1,000 new trees today to replace the ones that died yesterday. He set in motion a thing, and this entire universe operates off of seed. There would be no plant life. There would be no food. There would be no animal life. There would be no human life if it wasn't for seeds. God just established a law. And here's a major revelation to some people. God honors these laws that He created. When He saw all of the creation, He says it's good. And God wasn't going to bring His Son into this earth through some abnormal way that would violate the laws that He created. He waited 4,000 years because there had to be a seed planted, and no one man had enough of a relationship with God to be able to speak forth all of the faith-filled prophecies that needed to be said to create that physical body and provide that seed. And so God patiently waited for 4,000 years before He was able to bring His Son to this earth. Now let me just make a point here that if God did that with Jesus coming to the earth, He's not going to violate the things He said in His Word for your healing or for your prosperity or for anything else. Not because He doesn't love you. God loves you, but God created laws. He Himself abode by them. He didn't do something abnormal or perverse to bring Jesus into this earth. He abode by His own laws that He created. And He's going to do the same thing with you and me. You may be a wonderful person and you may be sincere and you may have cancer and you're praying and begging and pleading and you're desperate and you've fasted and you've shed buckets of tears. And you think, well, if God loves me, why doesn't He heal me? Have you taken the Word of God as a seed and planted it in your heart? Like Psalms 107, verse 20 says, that He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Proverbs chapter 4 says, God's Word is health unto all of your flesh and life unto them that find it. You have to have a seed planted on the inside of you. You need to believe. And I know there's somebody watching this who says, oh, I've heard somebody that got healed and they didn't even read the Bible. They didn't even believe in God. But whoever God used to bring that healing to them did believe in the Bible, did take the Word, did plant the seed. You know, it's like in the natural realm, you may not be able to have children on your own, but you can go adopt one or you can have a surrogate parent. In a sense, that's what's happening when somebody else receives their miracle from another person. But somebody, if you have a child, somebody conceived that child. That's the way that it happens. If you had a miracle, some physical human being conceived that miracle by taking the Word of God and planting it in their heart, and they conceived and gave birth to this miracle. And, you know, you can't depend on somebody else to always be conceiving your miracle and delivering and giving birth to it. You need to get to where you can receive. And I'm telling you that you could take the Word of God, and if you meditate on it, you'll start receiving miracles. You know, it sounds so simple that you'd think you shouldn't have to say this, but it's amazing. Christians would sit there and ridicule somebody who was praying over barren ground and expecting a harvest when they hadn't sown any seed. And yet, how many Christians are asking God to heal them? And if you were to say, well, what scripture do you have? What promise from God? Well, I don't know, somewhere in the Bible, I think it says that by His stripes you are healed, or I don't know. I think it's somewhere in there. If you haven't had any more intimacy with God's Word than that, then you're going to have to get your miracle through somebody else. That's not how it works. You have to conceive the Word of God. You have to take it and put it in your heart. You know, here's an example that many years ago the Lord spoke to me that the ministry was just going to really grow, and we were going to start reaching a lot more people, and we were going on television, and he told me that, man, I was going to need a lot more money. And, you know, it's been now decades since I've prayed and asked God to give me money. Now, he told me I was going to need more, but what did I do? Did I start fasting and praying and begging and pleading with God to give me more money? Nope. That would be similar to a woman starting to pray and ask God to give her a child, but not having a relationship with a man. What I started doing, I took about 100 scriptures on prosperity and how God provides our needs. I put them on my computer, and I would just go through and read those scriptures. Even though I could quote most of them, I would force myself to look at it, slow down, think about every word, and I just started meditating on the Word. I know some of you have probably been wondering about, all right, you've made your point. How do I get the Word to conceive on the inside of me? That's what I'm describing. You start meditating on the Word. You take the Word and you focus on it and think about it and analyze every single word and start just meditating on this and asking the Holy Spirit to take these words and make them come alive. And, you know, I did that. I couldn't tell you for the exact amount of time, but I suspect that it was around 2 years that I had these scriptures on my computer, and I would just go through and meditate and think about these scriptures and think about them and saying, God, I know that there's revelation, there's truths in these scriptures that haven't come alive on the inside of me. And I was just asking God for revelation, and I was meditating on them day and night. And if you would have asked me during that 2 year period of time, so what's God showing you? I couldn't have told you anything specific. I couldn't have given you a major revelation. But I just knew something was happening. I just knew it. You know, it's very similar, again, to the way that a woman conceives a child. When she first gets pregnant, even the woman herself doesn't know she's pregnant. You know, it takes a period of time before she begins to start having symptoms in her body, but she was pregnant before she even knew it. I think that there was a period of time when I was meditating on these scriptures that Word was beginning to start releasing life in me, but if you would have asked me, I couldn't have given you a specific. I didn't know for sure, but I just believed in the process, so I was meditating in it. And then a woman, after a period of time, she knows she's pregnant. Nobody else knows she's pregnant. It doesn't show yet, but she knows something's happening in her body. And so she's pregnant and knows it, but nobody else knows it. There came a period of time as I meditated on that I knew, man, something was happening on the inside of me. But if you would have asked me, I couldn't have proven it to you. I couldn't have shown it to you. I didn't have the revelation, but I had at least moved into that stage where I knew something was happening. And then a woman, after a period of time, gets to where she's big and she's showing that she's pregnant. And you know what? Not only does she know it, but everybody else knows it. Everybody else starts saying about, when are you going to deliver? And there came a period of time with me where I not only knew that I had something, these scriptures were doing something on the inside of me, but other people could tell that, man, they were saying that, you know, I believe you are just about to break through in this area. And then there came a time where this man, Pastor Dean Melton, a friend of mine from Charlotte, North Carolina, came and spoke in our Bible school, and it was somewhere around 1995 or 96. And he spoke on prosperity, and I went in to take notes on him. I had one of these yellow pads of paper, And I sat there for 2 days, 3 hours a day for 2 days. I was going to take notes, and I was going to get the revelation that he had on prosperity. And you know what? I never wrote a thing down. He didn't use a single scripture that wasn't already on this list that I was talking about. He didn't say anything I didn't already know. But you know what? I don't know how to describe it, but it's just something happened. I got delivered. I mean, I had a delivery. There was a birth that took place on the inside of me. And since that time, I mean, I have seen prosperity in my life just explode. Prior to that time, I would go to use mainly churches. I would rent their place. I would bring in Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, one or two other speakers, counting all of the honorariums, all of the travel expense, and the hotel, and everything that we had. Our bill for all of this for a week would be about $10,000. And I'd receive an offering, and I'd get $9,999, or I'd get $20 over what our expenses were. It was just at a break even. And in the long term, it was still good because the people from that area would become partners. And so it was paying for itself, but it was just always just barely enough. Did you know, after that time, when I gave birth to what I'd been meditating on for 2 years, I went and was holding the exact same meetings, the same number of people, the same people coming, the same expenses. Everything was the same, except in my heart, I had given birth to a revelation, a deeper revelation on prosperity and God's supply for me than I ever had. And I would do the exact same thing for the offerings. And instead of getting around $10,000, we started getting $25,000 and $30,000 and actually turning a profit off of the thing. And that's an illustration of what I'm talking about. That in the same way as Jesus had to be spoken into existence. And in a sense, God himself was bound by his own laws that he created. There had to be a seed that was planted. If God wouldn't violate that law, you can't violate that law. You need to take the Word of God and you need to plant it in your heart, and God's Word becomes flesh to you. God, you take the scriptures on healing and meditate in it day and night, and you know what it'll be? It'll be health to all of your flesh and life to those that find them. That's what it says in Proverbs chapter 4. God's Word will literally conceive healing on the inside of you. I don't know if this blesses you, but this blesses me. Because if I have a physical problem, all I've got to do is just start taking the scriptures that talk about healing. Go to all of the examples of healing in the Bible, meditate upon these things, and just meditate on them and go over and over and over and over it. And you know, most people want this to happen overnight. You're excited, and so, man, you're going to do this, and if by tomorrow morning you are just totally set free, well, then you're going to shout with the best of them. But you know what? When a woman conceives, it takes about 9 months. I don't know how long your conception period is, but the Scripture says there is a seed and then time, and then harvest. And with most people, it's more like seed, and then time, and then harvest. There is going to be a period of time. I can't tell you what it is, but I can promise you this, that God's Word, 1 Peter 1:23, is an incorruptible seed. It will always work if you will just meditate on it. Boy, that's good news. I tell you, this could transform your life. I'm out of time today, but I do encourage you to please get these materials that we're offering. It'll go into much more detail than what I've given here on today's program. So please call or write and receive these materials, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Word Became Flesh, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057C for the CD or T3202D for the DVD. Or you can get the original 5-part DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third teaching in the Word Became Flesh series is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, But if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this third CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know that the Lord was speaking to many of you today through this program. And, you know, if you realize that you've been trying to give birth without ever, first of all, getting pregnant, and you realize now you need the Word planted in your heart, I'd like to encourage you to please get these materials. And as you call in, we have some wonderful people that are answering our phones. And these people have the Word of God working in their life. They would be able to give you scriptures. You could tell them what it is that you are needing, and they could give you scriptures and pray with you, and then you could go study that. And it would be a tremendous blessing to you. So please use the helpline not only to receive the materials that we're offering, but also to receive prayer. We have the number on your screen. Please call today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year, we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
You know how revival comes? It's by you receiving what God has already done for you. And as you begin to start walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, miracles will happen. Blind eyes will open. Deaf ears will open. People will be raised from the dead. You'll have a love and a compassion that is not just human. And people will be drawn to it. And it'll begin to spread like wildfire.